The important thing to know about sharks, Wendy, is anytime a shark approaches you, you will hear this music.
I'm scared.
It does make me panic hearing about it. What is going on in Chicago is exciting to me because we have, of course, the solar eclipse is coming up on August 21st.
Yes.
So we have the Adler Planetarium here that's going to do some things for that. And Shark Week is happening on Discovery. And we have got someone from the Shed Aquarium in with us today. This is Alex Rose. How are you, Alex?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Marine biologist, underwater photographer, editor of two ocean magazines. What else do we need to know about? I feel like we need the dating game music.
No, let's not do that. No. yeah, pretty much everything ocean keeps me busy. So.
And
yeah.
So did you have an aquarium? Did you win a little goldfish at your fun fair at school? Is that what started you out on
this? That's not too far from the truth. I actually have spent a lot of time at Shedd Aquarium since I was a kid, just being from Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on a coast, but it's not really an ocean coast. So, you know, you need to find options. And Chicago has one of the best aquariums in the world. So
we were talking about how the Shedd Aquarium has improved. It was always good when we were a kid.
Yeah.
You took a field trip or two there. But the Shedd Aquarium now is a completely different monster from what it used to
be. It's incredible. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been called the world's aquarium always.
Yeah.
And it's been around since, you know, the 30s, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've really added so much. And the staff there is fabulous. And we have the best animal care professionals anywhere. So.
And how are we celebrating Shark Week here in Chicago?
Well, I think a lot of people are just watching Shark Week. And it
how
did just
it?
Start last night.
Happy
Sunday
Shark
night.
Week,
yep.
Alex,
yep. Thank
to
you.
And
Happy
your
Shark Week.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Wear your teeth. No.
Can I ask Michael Phelps? He swam against a shark, kind of
yeah,
a shark,
right.
An animated
yeah.
shark.
Yeah.
And I'm playing ping pong with a squirrel later. If you want to come by and watch that.
Well, is it digitally done or are
yeah.
you actually
no,
doing
it's
it?
No, it's
okay,
too dangerous
well, then
to play with a real
perfect.
Squirrel.
Is it Twiggy the water skiing
yeah.
squirrel?
Yeah, we're squaring off.
Very dangerous stuff.
Is this a good way to start out Shark Week? Because people are angry that it wasn't a real shark.
I know. Well, I don't think anyone really knew what to expect or how they were going to do it. Because when you mm-hmm. hype it up as a race, you think, well,
right.
how is that going to happen? So no one really knew. And I think overall, people were sort of disappointed.
Yeah.
But
and does Shark
you know,
NATO, does that?
I love that.
Shark
I'm sorry.
Likes it, but sharks are angry, aren't they? They don't
well,
want
if you
be
put them in a tornado,
way.
They certainly
yeah,
are.
They don't like being so, in tornadoes.
No, I don't think so.
Why is it that we have this obsession with sharks?
I really think most of it can be traced back to Jaws, honestly.
Yeah, that is it.
That really gets people, and it sticks.
Mm-hmm. We were yeah. heading, the summer that Jaws came out, we did a family vacation, and we were heading to the East Coast. We were going to go to Cape Cod, never
yeah.
have been there.
Yeah.
And we got in a car accident and had to turn around and come home because our car was totaled. And I almost felt relief there because I didn't have to swim in the waters where the shark could eat me.
Right. Fair mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a common thought, though. I mean, murky water and sharks
yes.
to people kind of go hand in hand. And,
even in swimming pools, I think about
it. I know. It just gets you. It's one of those like visceral reactions that since you're a kid, if you've seen Jaws, that's it.
Makes you nervous.
But, yeah.
Are they really? They're always described sharks as eating machines.
Yeah.
Is that true? That's all they do is
well,
they
just
eat.
Well, they do eat quite a bit. But yeah. humans aren't really on their menu.
They don't
so.
Want to eat people.
No, they really don't.
But now, whenever it's almost Shark Week,
yeah.
you always see stories.
Yeah.
It's weird timing, but that somebody's been gnawed
for sure.
On.
It does just tend to happen that way. It's a really uncommon occurrence, actually. So
yeah.
in a year, between 5 and 6 people are usually killed by a shark attack.
That's it?
That's it. So, I mean, coconuts, cows, vending machines, selfies
yeah.
all kill far more people
they
annually
do.
Than
coconuts?
Sharks. Coconuts. 150 people a year are killed by coconuts.
But if Jaws
falling
was a movie
coconuts?
About coconuts.
Falling coconuts. So on your tropical vacation, they're far more dangerous than sharks. Stay away from those trees.
Oh my God.
But there's no impending music when a coconut
right.
hits
That's
you.
That's what we need to do. We need to make a scary movie
right.
with coconuts and then suddenly, boom.
The Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's what it
Rupert
should
Holmes?
Be.
I would love that. Doom. I would love that. They never sleep, right? Sharks, we hear that they never sleep.
Right.
That's why they're cranky.
Yeah.
That could
they
do it. Maybe hangry, too.
Yeah.
Well, how can you survive? How does your metabolism work that where you just never...
Well, they're kind of discovering this. I mean, the thing with sharks is they travel such huge distances that unless you have them tagged, you have no clue where they go for the majority of their lives.
Right.
So shark research like that is so important because then we can learn where they go, what they do, how long they stay, what happens while they're there. And they've kind of started learning, and at least they premiered some of this on Shark Week last year, was that they go down to really, really deep depths where it's very cold and the water has kind of a constant flow to it because they need water moving over their gills constantly to stay breathing.
Yeah.
So they can't just sit on bottom other than a few species like nurse sharks and things, but in general they have to keep moving. So they just go to these places and kind of go into a trance and just like meditate almost instead of actually sleep. So that's how they get rest.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's neat. Most marine animals have really odd ways of sleeping, like
it's
dolphins,
like a yoga
and
class.
Yeah, and dolphins and other marine mammals can actually shut off half their brain, so half their brain will sleep.
I do that
time.
During the show usually.
I mean, I'm gonna say it's not necessarily uncommon, but
no. How many varieties of sharks are there?
There are almost 500.
Wow.
See, and we just honestly think of
great white.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the nurse shark, because we've heard that.
Right.
Does
right.
the hammerhead fall into a shark category?
Oh, yeah. They're really
What's
cool.
up with that guy? He's
well,
so unattractive.
Well, they recently discovered a new species of hammerhead, which is cool. It's kind of exciting.
What's new about it? How is it different from what they've
so
had
So they're
in the
like
past?
The big ones that you usually think about, great hammerheads and scalloped hammerheads, which can be between 15 and 20 feet long, the big guys.
Yeah.
But then there are much smaller species like bonnetheads. They look the same, but they don't get maybe 4 or 5 feet, so they're actually kind of cute. And there's a population of them that they discovered is actually two distinct species. They look the same, but genetically they're really different.
Really?
So, so as far as conservation efforts go, it's important to know that sort of stuff because you manage the population differently then because
you don't want
to meet
each
beforehand.
Other. Right? Do they do that? Do they ever attack each
often,
other?
Not often. Not often.
They look
certain
like cartoons, don't they?
Hammerheads really do.
It's like you just, I know your eyes are on each side of your hammer, but they look cartoon-like.
They're very strange looking, and some of the deep water species are really strange. Just
now, the reason that obviously, now this is just my opinion, I'm not a marine biologist.
Wait,
like
you're
Alex
not
Rose
a marine
is,
biologist?
No.
I thought everyone on this show was.
All right, their eyes, obviously they have great peripheral vision because their eyes are on the side
they
of
sure
their
do.
Head. So do they hang with fish that have better vision front ways?
Not really. They just have kind of a completely different way of viewing the world. Most when you see hammerheads, generally they're in large groups. So hammerheads do school, which is not necessarily a common behavior for sharks in general. It's a pretty amazing thing to see, though. You'll see it in Galapagos and Cocos, two island areas.
Yeah.
And they just get hundreds, sometimes thousands of schooling hammerheads, which is a crazy thing to see.
Some of them homeschool.
I don't know. We'll have to talk to them about that. See, this is why research is so important.
Yes,
how could we
is.
Know?
You can't know too much. It's
Alex
impossible.
Will never come back,
no,
you know.
One time out. Yeah.
All right.
Can I ask a quick question? Because I'm curious. Are they, sharks, the most ferocious animal in the water? Or is there something that even sharks go, I'm not messing with this?
Honestly, orca are probably
the
scariest
whales?
Thing. Oh, they can take out great whites, no problem.
Can they really?
Yep, absolutely. There is nothing
I'm surprised,
that an orca can't take down.
I think a shark could outmaneuver it. But
they
no.
might be able to, but orcas are pack hunters.
Yeah.
So when you're talking 5-6 of them versus a great white.
They rule.
Nope.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's something we don't know about sharks?
They're portrayed very improperly all the time. Everyone thinks they're vicious, and honestly,
and they're
really not. I mean, they need to eat. They are apex predators.
Have you been in the water with one?
A
lot
of sharks.
Have you really?
Yeah,
and you're not afraid at all?
Not really. The only shark that I've been intimidated by is a mako. Mako sharks are the fastest sharks on the planet, and they've just got a very mechanical way of moving, so they're really quick and very hard to follow. So, they're a little bit intimidating. But overall, no, sharks are not. People scare me a lot more than sharks.
I don't blame you.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate.
So, and I think back to Jaws and, a kid on the raft and we get the shark's eye view.
Yeah.
They're not going, oh, there's a person, I'm going to go eat that person.
No.
They're seeing movement and feeling the vibrations and thinking, oh, there's food.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a silhouette thing is the biggest issue, especially when you think about great whites. They're typically surface hunters, so they eat seals, sea lions, things like that, which are all in the surf zone. And if you look at a surfer on a board from underneath, maybe from 200 feet below, it's exactly the same as a seal. And if you're a shark coming up from 300 feet to nab something out of the water, you're not going to be able to tell that that's not a seal.
So
it looks
what
the
can
same.
You do to make yourself so the shark is aware of the fact that you're not a seal?
Well, there are a couple things. Be a scuba diver instead of a surfer.
Yeah, all right.
You're much safer.
That's easy.
You'd think not, though.
You wouldn't think so, but because
not
they
on the
hunt surface. Yeah, that's if you're in midwater, they make eye contact with you, and it's not a thing.
Has the singer seal ever been attacked by a shark?
I don't know. You'll have to ask.
Right. I'll find out.
Yeah,
are
get
you
back
pleased
to me on
with
that.
Yourself?
I'm kind of happy with what I just did, yeah.
Well, at least someone is.
All right, so what if, I mean, you see, and you're right, it does seem to coincide with Shark Week, where all of a sudden now on the internet you will see, oh, this giant pack of, what is it? It's not a school. What is it, a group of sharks?
Yeah, you can call it a school, yeah. But they're usually not in schools. It's not a common behavior for sharks.
So it's like a lone shark.
Yeah, most of them are. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it seems to coincide with Shark Week because it's summer, so it's warm water, and so they come closer to shore, and everyone's in the water. You know, it's like this combination of way more people using the ocean and sharks coming closer to shore. You know, if it's really warm, you get these plankton blooms, so the water is murky, so you don't see them. It's just a higher possibility that you'll come in contact with one. So I think it's just a conditional thing.
Still scared of them. I like to watch them. I mean, it's just so freaky when their eyes roll back into their head.
Yeah, that's a protective thing so they don't get whacked by their prey.
Oh,
because the lid kind of closes.
Yeah. It's called a nictitating membrane, and it covers up their eye so they don't get scratched by seals or anything.
You make it sound so cool and scientific other than
they are
freaky.
So cool.
Did you see this movie about the woman who went down in the shark tank?
No, I won't.
You didn't.
See it.
You don't want to see it? How come? Why?
It's like another version of Jaws that just does not help our perception of sharks.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's bad for business.
It really is. I mean, it's good for the movies.
Yeah,
but you know, for someone who cares about sharks, it's not really what you want to see.
Right. That's fair.
Do you want to punch a? What are you supposed to do if you're on a raft and a shark comes up? You're supposed to punch
it in the
nose.
Their faces are really sensitive. They've got all these tiny little pockets all over their face called the ampullae of Lorenzini, and they can sense all different types of electrical currents. So they're very sensitive on their faces.
But Wendy and I were saying that if you did, you were in that situation and you did, it might irritate the shark more to be punched in the face.
It could, but honestly, would probably just be surprised.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not really expecting that sort of thing.
Really? Because that's all they tell you to do. That's all we know as people if you see a shark punch it in the face.
Most likely it won't come that close to you, but in the event that it does, that could help, I suppose.
How many sharks are out there all over the place right now?
We have no idea, honestly. Less and less all the time, though. We kill about 100 million sharks a year.
For what reason?
Primarily fins. They're fins.
Yeah. What do they do with them?
Yeah, they go into shark fin soup.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a traditional thing in a lot of parts of Asia. And luckily, the demand is dropping just because there are so many well-known celebrities now from there that are kind of coming out against it. Because it used to be something that you would do at a wedding to kind of show your status. Like, you know, I can afford shark fin soup for all of my guests because it's really expensive, but it's not good.
No.
It's basically just a status. Lump of cartilage.
Are all sharks in saltwater or are some in freshwater?
Some can migrate through freshwater,
but
they don't live in freshwater. Oh. And mostly brackish, you know, like bull sharks and things like that, because they come close to the coasts.
Yeah.
So they can kind of swim through a brackish area, but they don't live in freshwater.
Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Alex from the Shedd Aquarium. One of us is a marine biologist. Can you figure out which one of the three of us is? It's a game we're playing. We're at 312-981-7200. It's WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and we're talking to Chicagoan Alex Rose. She's a marine biologist, an employee of the Shedd Aquarium, and we're talking about Shark Week. Alex, I got to tell you, I have a real good friend of mine who posted something on Facebook, which everyone was posting, that there. Here's the headline, 3,000-pound great white shark captured in the Great Lakes. It was found, the dateline is Waukegan, a huge 3,000-pound great white shark was found in Lake Michigan yesterday. Could explain the disappearance of missing people in the last decade. Confirm the U.S. Coast Guard. This isn't true.
True or fake?
No, it is not.
Fake?
That is not true. No, you would not be seeing great whites up here. Sharks in general, you're not going to find in any sort of freshwater, especially not this kind of freshwater.
Really?
You might see them, you know, like very far down the Mississippi for a little while because it's brackish, which is, you know, partially salt, partially fresh.
Yeah.
But you would never see a shark in the Great Lakes.
Right.
No, especially not a great white.
All right. And
so
Rich
don't worry.
Has a question.
Okay.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. For a question for your guest, I've always been obsessed with sharks, and even before Jaws. And when Jaws happened, you know, it became a mania.
Yeah.
But from what I remember, even as a little kid, is that sharks and great whites specifically, mm-hmm. they were like just brainless eating machines that mm-hmm. just, you know, they didn't really think about anything except what was the next food in front of their face.
Right.
But with what has been going on in the last 20, 30 years, because as a little kid, I remember also that great whites were incredibly rare.
Yeah.
It was like really rare to even see one.
Right.
And that's kind of not true, it seems, or I guess because of protection they've back. Yeah, but with all the technology now and videotaping and filming and studying of great whites, seems to me to be as perfect of a specimen as they are, they can't be that stupid. And it seems to me they seem pretty smart, actually.
Are sharks
smart? Definitely right there. Yeah. I mean, sharks, when you think about it, well, intelligence in general is very subjective. Like, humans are the best at what we do, and eagles are the best at what they do, and great whites are the best at what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, intelligence is definitely measured by the environments that we live in. And great whites really do an amazing job surviving in really tough conditions. They have a massive migration route. And just for an animal to be able to find its way from year to year from the places that it goes is unbelievable. I mean, you'll see them in Australia, and then you'll see them in Guadalupe, which is about a day's trip off of San Diego. You'll see them off the coast of LA. I mean, to be able to go back and forth and regularly find your way back, I mean, that's an incredible
Ubers.
Skill right there. Yeah, Uber. It's a shark Uber, of course.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah.
Rich, and thank you very much for
your
call. You
are right. Sharks are smart.
All right. They're smart, and we found out that sharks, there's no way to count them because they have been disappearing a lot of times because of shark fin soup, which I got to be honest with you, I never heard of.
Yeah, so tell us
about Blue Ring and the conservation efforts
that
you're behind.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm a bit of an ocean nut,
mm-hmm.
and I do work for an ocean conservation magazine called Ocean Geographic. And for the last few years, I've kind of been trying to figure out what I can do personally to make a difference. And I mean, there's tons of little stuff that we could do, and so much of it has to do with plastic pollution. But personally, I wanted to find something. So I came up with this really fun idea to make ocean conservation cool and accessible to everyone, and it's called Blue Ring. So what you get to do is pledge your commitment to the ocean by buying a $25 a year membership, and you get a ring. And you get to marry the ocean.
Oh.
And it's spelled M-E-R-Y, like mare, the sea. Oh, I know, I was trying to be clever. And so you can either get a pendant or a ring. And so it basically is a way to show off your ocean commitment. And every year I'll fund different ocean conservation projects. And the goal for the first year is to get 200,000 members. We're going to raise $5 million and build submarines. And unlike most subs, instead of going out there and looking for places to drill and things to mine, they'll be exclusively for research purposes.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it.
What do you make of what James Cameron keeps doing? Is he keeps making these real high-tech subs that go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean to find critters that we've never even imagined before.
Right, critters?
That's a great thing. Yeah,
they're
that's
amazing.
What we call them,
absolutely. His, I think it was Challenger Deep was that
last.
Yeah,
that's the last one.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing stuff. And just it shows you how important private sector funding is in so much of this stuff, because to get a group behind something like that versus a single person that says, well, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So we definitely need that. It's amazing to have that, but it's also just as important to have something that everyone can be part of, which is why this is so important.
Program you just mentioned, there's a website people can
visit.
There
is. Yeah. It's blueRing.blue.
Okay.
So check it out. And it's only $25 a year, and we're going to build subs, and it's going to be exciting.
All right. I think that would be great for a classroom to get behind.
It would.
You know?
Yes. Definitely.
You know, Mr. Left's science class.
That's
and
right.
Then Mr. Left could wear the blue ring, or you could just display it in the classroom.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some groups together and maybe organize some beach cleanups around here where everybody gets a membership when they come do the cleanup.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it'll be fun just to get everybody involved.
It's blueRing.blue.
Correct.
And also keep in mind shedaquarium.org before
always
you came up.
Shed.
Yes, before you came up, I said I had been there as a kid.
Yeah.
I had been there, you know, with my family in school, and it's about time that I need to get back over
there.
It's
amazing.
All right, a question for my 14-year-old son.
Yes.
We go fishing every once in a while, and he tells me it's been proven that fish do not feel pain when you're taking that hook out of their mouth. And I said, how do you know that?
Right. Well, it's not that they don't feel pain necessarily. I mean, they have nerve endings in their lips, don't they? But there are a lot of different kinds of nerve endings. You know, like our brains don't feel pain. If you were able to touch your brain,
you wouldn't
feel pain. You'd feel it though, you know?
Like a pressure or something.
Right. It's more of a pressure receptor than a pain receptor. So I'm not going to say that it's comfortable for them. It's definitely not.
I can't imagine it would be.
But their lips are really tough.
What about lobsters in hot water? They always go, they don't feel that, but they feel
that. Yeah, they feel that.
It's hot water.
Wait, you don't eat lobster, do you?
I'm vegetarian, actually, yeah.
You haven't lived.
I wasn't my whole life, only for 5 years.
Lately.
I'm not going to tell you they're not delicious.
Yeah, they're good.
But there are definitely better ways than throwing them in a pot alive.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's... You know.
What if they volunteer? What if the lobster goes, I've had a long
Well, you know, if they sign a waiver, then I guess you're okay.
Good.
We have to take care of our oceans. We really do.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Talk about the plastic, though, just very briefly before we let you go.
Yeah, plastic's a tough one.
Like plastic bottles, the caps to bottles, the rings from six packs.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that can affect... The
all
fish
marine life.
And the birds and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this goes from, you know, every level of an ocean ecosystem can be impacted. Yeah, like you said, the six-pack rings get stuck around animals' necks all the time. There's an island in the Pacific called Midway Atoll, and they're actually just released a documentary about it. The entire colony of birds, the albatrosses that live there, are currently going extinct because of the plastic pollution problem, because it's near a gyre, like a circulating ocean current where all the plastic is. So the mom birds go pick up all these pieces of plastic, feed it to the babies, and they can't digest that, obviously.
Yeah.
So they're just the island is littered with birds filled with plastic.
That's terrible.
You know, and it's stuff that we can control. You know, when you're thinking about just drink straws.
Oh my
God,
I saw that video on Facebook. There was a sea turtle that got a straw stuck in his nostril.
And it's so common. I mean, all that sort of stuff is so common. And it's just paying attention to what we use, you know?
And go to blueringblue. Yes. And thank you so much, Alex Rose.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Appreciate it. We'll find out what Steve has next. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.